This is the Talk Show America Show.
And welcome one and all to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. It is June 14th, 2011. Wow, where did I get July? Guess it's wishful thinking, folks. June 14th, 2011. Flag Day, folks. And we want to welcome you to the show. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. I know it's been a while since we've done a show. Again, there's just a lot of things going on, and unfortunately, it's just the time I have available to do this. It's been a couple of weeks, but we're trying to keep things on an even keel here, folks. And as I said, we appreciate you stopping by and taking time out of your busy day to listen to the show. Okay. Just some things that I wanted to make mention of. Again, there's so much going on, folks. I mean, since I've been since I've had a show, we've had the Wiener scandal, Wienergate, if you'll call it. I mean, unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. I cannot imagine how these people can think they can do these things, being members of Congress, and think that it's not going to affect their lives, that no one's going to say anything, that they can just basically do what they want. My understanding was this man was sending these pictures to people who did not even solicit them, that is, didn't ask for them. There were some that were being sent to people who were participating, which, I mean, not that I think it's a great thing for him to do, but the bottom line is there's no harm done there per se. But to be sending them to people who didn't, basically ask for them is unbelievable. These people think that it's okay. You have Wiener being defiant, saying he's not going to resign. He went to his tearful, apology and admission, which everyone knew, folks, that he was doing this. He was trying up and down to say he wasn't. Somebody hacked his account and everything. You could tell by his answers and his evasive answers in many of the press conferences that were held, especially where he tried to talk about other things. Big foolish move for Anthony Wiener was to even get out and try to do press conferences while this scandal was just coming about. Because that's what the press conference was going to be about. It wasn't going to be about issues, and he should have known this. He attacked members of the media who questioned him on this scandal and tried to make it sound like, well, you're not letting me talk about the issues I really need to talk about. I don't want to talk about. Of course he doesn't want to talk about the Wienergate thing, folks, because he knows he's guilty of sin, and he knew it. And it's, he's trying to get around the we're going to have it investigated. He wasn't going to have it investigated because he knew there was nothing there to investigate. His vagueness in his answers, his defensiveness to want to talk about other issues besides that, certainly, lend credence to the fact that he was guilty. You could see it written all over his face. Then his tearful response and his admission, finally. And then he wants everybody to forgive him. That's fine and dandy, folks. The fact that he was doing this, sending these photos to women who did not ask for them, folks, many of them. Some of them did. Some of them were participating, and I understand that. But there were people that didn't ask for them, folks. The fact he did that alone should be enough for him to resign. But the fact that he lied to the American people, lied to us on TV, on the radio, whatever, and said, oh, no, I didn't send those. Somebody's hacked my account. That should be it. You might be able to say, okay, this guy's a lurch, but, we just won't vote him back in when the time comes. But now we have the guy, lying to us to our face and then attacking the news media who dares to ask him a question about it. The man needs to resign just because of that, just because he lied and he attacked the media on top of it. And let me tell you something right now, folks. If he's lying about this, he's lying about other things as well. There's no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. So it was an amazing amazing situation. And he's still there. He's refusing to resign. He's going to resign, folks. It's going to happen. Mark my words. The president himself has already said that he thinks that Wiener should resign. If the president's saying it, you can bet your life on one thing. It's going to happen. Okay? Just a matter of when and how. It's going to happen. So, mark my words, he will resign. It's going to take time. You know, he thinks this rehab, this program he's going to, whatever it is, for his so-called sickness. That's just a ruse, folks. That's just for him to go in there and be forgotten about for a while, and he comes out, and, oh, look it, he's all better. It's just a ruse. He's going to resign. They're going to make him resign. They don't need this in their party right now. If he was a Republican, they'd be clamoring for his resignation, and rightfully so, folks. The difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is this, folks. We would be calling for Wiener to resign ourselves, the Republican Party, the conservatives. We wouldn't be waiting for others to call it first. We would be demanding it ourselves of him. We don't want him here. We don't need him in our party. We don't want a lech like this in our party. And we have had some in our party, no doubt about it. And they've been removed. They've resigned. Either by themselves or under pressure from the GOP and conservatives. We don't want these people. We don't need these people. You know, you're a representative of the United States Congress. You're not, it doesn't give you license to lech upon people. I mean, it's just unbelievable, folks. It's just amazing to me. And then you have somebody, well, he really didn't break the law, and he really didn't. Oh, please, folks. The ethics alone is the problem. You know, what happened to the moral standing in this country when we start drawing a line of, well, he didn't break the law, even though it was unethical and he shouldn't have done it. When are we going to get back our moral compass? That's the problem in this country. That's a large problem in this country today with the political world. Is, well, it's not against the law. It may be unethical, but it's not against the law. Well, isn't that nice? You know, again, we have got to get back to some basic moral standards here and moral guidelines, folks. As an elected official, you're supposed to be a step above the rest. Not as far as it makes you better than anybody else, but your conduct and how you conduct yourself, should be above everyone else. Your standard of your moral standard should be higher. It really should. I'm not saying that it has to be, I'm not saying that other people don't have higher standards. I'm saying that you should be striving to make sure that your standard is higher. But unfortunately, we have this mentality, folks, in this country lately that, well, you know, everybody does it. And, you know, I saw an article on that. Well, everybody does it. Well, everybody's not a U.S. congressman. I mean, you know, you're in the public eye, folks. You're in the public eye. Police officers have done this and have been fired, have been removed from the job, and very much should be. We don't need this type of thing. You're supposed to be above, as a police sergeant, I'm supposed to be above that type of conduct. I don't know how people can sit back and defend this, but they were trying. Not only just the Democrats themselves, the news media obviously trying to do that. Some of the news media, some of them were going after him quite aggressively, which was something to witness. I mean, it was some of the mainstream news media as well. Of course, it's a story, so that's what they want. But how can we sit here and say, other people, everybody does it. Oh, please, folks, I am so sick of hearing that in this country. Well, everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. What did your dad and mom tell you when we were kids? If you said, well, Johnny Jones down the street's doing that, my dad would have said, well, if Johnny Jones jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off too? Well, it's the same thing here, folks. Everyone's doing it. So if everyone else is doing it, that means it's okay for Wiener to do it too. Come on. It's BS that it's BS that everybody's doing it. Number two, obviously, the congressman is in a position where he should know better. And anyone in any public position, whether it be a public safety job, local government, state government, federal government, should not be doing this type of thing. This is not what we elected them to do. This is not what we pay them to do. I mean, it's just getting to be ridiculous. This is now our latest thing. Well, everybody's doing it. That was an article I saw, and I'm like, this is just ridiculous. This is just a way to try to cover up and make it sound as if, well, it's not that unheard of. It is in public life, folks, or at least it should be. And that's the whole point. All right, I don't want to get too much on Anthony, you know, on taking up a lot of time on Anthony Weiner's scandal. I mean, folks, there's enough jokes out there, and you can see him. The man's going to end up resigning. He's not going to have any choice. He's having a lot of, he's getting a lot of pressure from the GOP, obviously. He's getting a lot of pressure from Democrats, and now he's getting some pressure from the president. It's not going to be long now before he's going to disappear from the scene, and you know, and they'll move on from there. One of the problems that they have is obviously if they have to have a special election, they don't want to do that because they don't want to give a Republican a chance to move in. I mean, this is a lot of the reason why nobody's really pushed it that far, but they're starting to feel the heat and they realize that, you know, how can you let this lech stay here? You've got to be disgusted by his behavior. You really do. And if you're not, then I guess I don't know what to tell you. You know, no one's sitting here and saying we're all angels and we don't do anything wrong, and you know, but you know, I can tell you that I don't, tweet pictures of myself, you know, half naked or whatever, to women, especially women that don't want this to happen. Of course, I don't do it anyway. I'm a married man, and I'm very happily married. But I mean, this should not be going on with a congressman, married or not. I don't care. Not to people who are not participating in this, at least. You know, you can question whether or not it's even going on with people that are participating, but hey, you know, at least they're not victims of this guy's lecherous behavior. These other people are not asking for this stuff to come to him, and he's sending it anyway. It's just, and then look at the guy. Look at his picture. He's got, his head looks like Pee Wee Herman, and his upper torso looks like Arnold. What does that tell you, folks? He is the classic, quintessential picture of a geek. Anyway, regardless of that fact, I don't want to get too much further into it, but, you know, hopefully he's going to resign, and I would say probably sooner more than later, because I think that, you know, they want him out of there. They don't want him there, and they want to be able to move on with the issues, and it's certainly taking away from a lot of things. But we'll see what happens there. The other thing that happened, Newt Gingrich, folks, here is a candidate for the GOP presidential nomination. Well, he's not a candidate yet, but he could be a candidate. Well, he is a candidate. Excuse me. I'm just saying that, you know, he could win the could have won the GOP nomination, possibly. But he's self-destructed, and I can't understand it, because he's a smart man. Newt Gingrich is one of the smartest people in the Republican Party. There's no doubt about that whatsoever, folks. He's very smart. He's very learned. He knows it. And then he goes on. He comes out and in favor of some type of Obamacare, as we call it now, and global warming. And you know, comes out with this, and it just destroys himself in no time. His whole staff quits now. I mean, he's still out there, you know, I mean, and he's a smart guy. There was a debate last night. We'll be talking about that today, too, the Republican debate in New Hampshire, where he sounded pretty decent. He stumbled a couple times, I think, but nothing bad. And his answers made sense, because he's a smart man. But he's all done, folks. He's toast. He's all done. He will not win the nomination, and I think you'll find that he's going to drop out soon. I don't think he's going to last too much longer. He hasn't got the support, folks, and he killed whatever support he might have been able to have when he was, you know, talking about the global warming. Of course, they come up with photos of him with Nancy Pelosi and things of this nature, so that didn't help him. But I mean, regardless of that fact, folks, I mean, some of the statements he made, his campaign just imploded, and of course everybody jumped from the ship like rats from the sinking ship. They're talking about the possibility of Rick Perry. We'll see what happens there. That in and of itself, just amazing as well, you know, to see where that's going to go. And of course, we had these tornadoes that hit not only in the South, but up here in Massachusetts as well, which is where I've been for the past couple of weeks, helping out some neighboring communities that went all around my community, folks. I cannot even believe it. We had minimal damage, and it was more like a severe thunderstorm for us. I mean, we had minimal damage, thank the Lord. But the neighboring communities got damaged pretty well, and I've been helping out with that. That's why I haven't been able to do a show, trying to get that gun. Plus, my newly born granddaughter, folks, Sophia Rose, She had some complications. She's doing well now, though. Finally, you know, she was born a bit preemie. They had to take her by C-section. So she had a little bit of a struggle. Still a little bit of a struggle. Not bad. You know, so, you know, take heart. She's doing fairly well now. She does have a hole in her heart, I guess, from what I was told by the doctors. But they expect that that may heal itself, so they're not that concerned about it yet. She is home. I thank everybody that said prayers and your thoughts that I received via email. And I appreciate that very, very much indeed. And she is doing well. Another one for Papa to take care of. So. Anyway, this has been what's been going on, so this is why I haven't been able to do too many shows, obviously, because of all this. But anyway, let's move on to what I wanted to talk about mainly today, and I want to get to this in the second, third, and fourth segments of the show. I want to talk about the debate up in New Hampshire, because it's important that we do. It's important to know who's going to be our front runner, because right now Romney, of course, looks like the front runner. He's the one that's... But you know what? I don't agree with everything that Mitt Romney says, but I like Mitt Romney for one reason. And I'm not saying that I necessarily endorse him to be president. But he is presidential, folks. He looks the part. He speaks the part. He speaks clearly, concisely, and knowledgeably. And believe me, that's a lot of what people are looking for. Someone who looks presidential. Who looks like he knows what he's doing. And Romney does. I don't agree with him on global warming. I don't agree with him on Romney Care, or as it's being called now, Obamney Care, folks, because it's a mixture of Romney for Romney Care, Obama for Obama Care. Those two items alone concern me. They do, and it's probably going to be enough for me to say I cannot vote for Romney. However, and there's a lot of this going on right now, folks. If Romney gets the nomination and Obama, it's Obama and Romney, I got to go for Romney. I mean, I'm sorry. People can say what they want, but you got to do it. All right, we're going to be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America show. So don't go away, because we'll return in a moment.
Medcare Diabetic.
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance.
Medcare Diabetic is offering diabetics at no cost a multilingual talking, pain-free test meter. Call, qualify, and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free. If you have Medicare or insurance, Medcare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-993-0617. That's 800-993-0617.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe, it's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010, 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much, folks, indeed. And again, folks, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. I really appreciate it. I'm only doing these shows a couple of weeks at a time now. And I'm trying to get back on track here, and hopefully that will happen. But I do appreciate your loyalty and your listenership. Okay, let's get to what we were going to talk about today, and largely, and that's going to be the Republican debate that happened in New Hampshire last evening. I didn't see the debate myself, folks, unfortunately. I've seen clips of it, parts of it. I just didn't get a chance to watch it again, work and things that have to be done. But I did see clips and parts of it, and I did read some extensive coverage on it today from many angles, including the left angle. You know me, I try to look at that just to see if I can pick out things that I can get them on. So it looks as though Romney and Michelle Bachmann were basically considered the winners of that debate. Now, I know usually when you have winners in a debate, you have like one person who won. But, out of all the candidates, that appears to be who were the candidates that stood out. Just a general consensus besides of people that I saw that offered opinions. The other person that I was surprised at who got rather a low response, in my opinion, was Tim Pawlenty. Apparently, he was in debating with Romney, stumbled a few times, and there are people who are saying that they were not impressed with Pawlenty at all, which is bad news for the conservative side, because, I mean, Pawlenty certainly is probably the more conservative candidate for the most part. The thing is, folks, you gotta be able to know what you're talking about, and if you don't, if you're not a good presenter, it creates a problem. And we saw this with McCain and Obama. Senator McCain stumbling on some things. Of course, Obama stumbling on some things too that McCain had better knowledge of. But we saw this before in the debates. Michelle Bachmann was a surprise to many, though, folks. Not that they didn't think she was. She was good material, but that she orated so well in a debate that she was able to present her ideas clearly and concisely and with some passion. And I think that's what's going to wake people up. Don't forget, Michelle Bachmann is a fairly favorite candidate of the Tea Party movement. Who, of course, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, these people seem to be the front runners for the Tea Party movement in regards to conservative candidates. So Michelle Bachmann did well, and that's good news for her, and it bodes well for possibility that she could be she could possibly be in the at least the running for the nomination. That doesn't necessarily mean she's going to win it. Problem is, we have to pick someone that's going to be able to win, and that's what you have to remember, especially when you're talking about being with the Republican Party. The Republican Party is going to look at a candidate that can win the presidency. They don't want to look at a candidate that, well, this candidate has good ideas and the Tea Party members like him, but we don't think they can win. This is going to be the problem, folks. And I know that traditionally, the problem is that people with the Tea Party movement, some of them know the traditional values of politics in this country. Some of them don't know them or don't understand them because there's a lot of young people there that don't necessarily understand the full political process. And this becomes a problem. Now, I would love to see a good conservative candidate that has the values of the Tea Party movement, behind them, and wins, no doubt about it. But the problem that is going to happen here, folks, is what happens every single election cycle, especially in the past few years. We expect someone to be exactly how we want them to be. In other words, all of these values that I have is what I want the candidate to have. If you're going to go with that type of idea in voting for a candidate, you're going to be, unfortunately, disappointed. Because no candidate, I don't care who they are, has every single value that you do. And that's been the problem that we've had in the past couple of years. People saying, well, you know, I don't like him because of his stance on this. One stance, like maybe they don't like about the person, and they decide to trash, you know, to trash the rest of, thoughts of voting for that person because of one issue that they may not have the same idea on. Well, that's foolish, folks, and they say that's what got Obama into the White House, and you can't go by that, folks. Now, McCain, I agree, he's a rhino. He's wishy-washy on some things, but he's still better than Obama by a long shot. And although some people may debate me on that, but anyway, you know what I mean. If you want to win for your party, you've got to realize that these candidates are not necessarily going to have be with you on every single issue. It's as simple as that. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they tell you. A classic example is Obama. Let's look at Obama for a minute. If you want to do some analysis on this, this is a classic example of how you could do this. Let's look at Obama. Obama, the left-wingers, especially the answer crowd, the not-in-our-names, the Code Pinkos, this group, they voted for him in droves. Why? Because they thought he was going to close Gitmo. They thought he was going to bring home the troops from Afghanistan, bring home the troops from Iraq, and we were no longer going to be in a war on terror. They thought he was going to save the economy. They thought everything was going to be the day of wine and roses again, and everything would be fine. Well, folks, buyer's remorse. I'm telling you, you hear it all the time from a lot of these left-wing kooks, because what Obama said he would do and what he did when he got in there are two different things. First of all, Obama is using mostly George W. Bush's administration's strategy in the war on terror, including the killing of Bin Laden, Afghanistan, Iraq. Iraq is a big success, folks. Afghanistan will be a success. It will happen, folks. Don't. You're listening to the mainstream news media and them trying to downtrodden Afghanistan the way they did Iraq. It may take a little more time. Don't forget, it's a more loosely controlled country. So you have to look at that and understand it takes a little bit a while longer in order to get the results we want. We're never going to have perfect results in Iraq or in Afghanistan. And I don't care what anybody tells you, that's not going to happen either. They're always going to have their factions over there, and there's not a lot you can do about it. You just got to try to get the best outcome for us, and then we leave. Our biggest thing is to try to make sure that these terrorist cells cannot build up big training camps again in Afghanistan. Obviously, they won't be able to in Iraq, hopefully. And that's what our biggest problem is. Once we get past that, we can move out on those things. But Obama has largely used the Bush strategy in winning the war on terror. Why? Because it works. He has decided that we're going to leave Gitmo open for now. Why? Because there's no other place to put him. Nobody wants him here, and I'm one of them that falls right into that category. Why are we going to bring dangerous terrorists here to try them, leave them down in Guantanamo? It's been proven that that's where they should be, and he knows it. Okay, so all of his rhetoric in condemning George Bush for some of the things that were done, folks, he's still doing himself. He's still doing it himself. I mean, so and why? Because it works, and he knows it. All of these left wing kooks, Pink Code Pinko, the Answer Crowd, not in our name, moron.org, the groups I'm talking about that voted for him are now questioning whether they should vote for him again. Now, of course, they probably will when the time comes, because they're not going to vote for the Republican, I can guarantee you that. But he's certainly his support. Some people may just stay home and not vote for anyone. Okay, so you know, on the Democrat side, which would be good for us. So you're not the candidate you get may not be necessarily the candidate that you want when he gets into office. So you have to try to be very careful with these things as well. Just because someone says they'll do something doesn't mean they will either. That's the other thing that you got to watch out for. But we're not going to get a candidate that's perfect in the first place, and anybody that thinks they are is in trouble because it's just not the way it works. And you've got to play the game, the political game in Washington, whether you like it or not. You do, in order to get some things done, folks. There's no other way out of that, especially when you have a Congress that is the opposite of the party that you represent while you're in the White House. It's very easy for them to control a lot of things. Ask George Bush. The Democratic-controlled Congress did a lot of things, although he could have vetoed many of it, which he didn't do. All right, we're going to be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America show. We're going to get into the meat of this debate and see what else is going on. Stay tuned. We'll return in a moment.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with VVV-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Hey folks, JR here from Talk Show America. Print up free discount coupons that can be redeemed at your local store and check out some great talk shows at the same time at phoenixbroadcastingtalk.net.
So here's to all the soldiers, right? For you and me, because you wear that uniform, America is free.
There is a flag flying so proud, the red, white, and blue, and I can live my life in peace, thanks to you.
So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me, because you wear that uniform, America is free. Because you keep us safe from harm, America is free.
listening to the Talk Show America Show.
And yes, you are, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. Okay, we're going to get to some meat here now, folks, of what we're talking about here today on the show. And we're going to, try to give you some insight and some analysis as to where we should be going after this debate last night by the Republicans in New Hampshire. So without further ado, let's get to some of the what was going on here in New Hampshire last night and what some of the, some top commentators in this country think, folks, about who won the debate. And now we're going to start with Michael Barone first, folks. There's an article he had in the Washington Examiner where he talks about his take on the debate. And of course, you know Michael Barone, a very very famous author, conservative author. Not well, I shouldn't say conservative author, folks. He's more of a moderate, right-leaning author, but he's not really, he's not necessarily, a staunch conservative author. He has as many opinions, but he certainly is well-respected, around the author circuits, and he's definitely, published in many political publications, folks. And he's, he's someone worth listening to. Well, this was his take. He said that. He felt that he wanted to give his take on every candidate so that you weren't just getting one side of, one or two candidates. So this is what he said about Mitt Romney. He said, in an early interchange on Tim Pawlenty's disparagement of Obama-Romney care, as Pawlenty calls it, Romney came out far ahead and established a sense of command, a vital presidential quality, of course, and it is, folks, over Pawlenty and other candidates. Romney came up with a good line. Obama never called me and asked my advice, and said that he would have said that Obamacare wouldn't work. Now, I mean, folks, Michael Barone's just here. A vital presidential quality that Romney, just like I was saying, that Romney has is that he establishes a sense of command, a sense of he's presidential. And this seemed to resonate over many other candidates. I mean, just that alone, as I was trying to say, certainly puts him out in front of the rest. So, Pawlenty went on the defensive as a result of this, saying that he was only responding to a question phrased in a particular way and missed a chance to nail Romney for backing a mandate to buy health insurance, which is Romney care in this case. The feature of Obamacare, which is now under attack in the courts, which is the mandating of health insurance. Right now we're challenging the constitutionality of mandating someone to buy a product, which is not done in this country. And, people are going to come up with, I know, and everybody says this to me all the time. I get more emails. Well, you have to buy auto insurance in most states. It's a mandatory. But you don't have to drive, folks, if you don't want to. It's a state issue on top of it. And if you don't want to drive, you don't have to buy a car. You don't have to buy insurance. It's as simple as that. That's something that you decide. It's not a right to own a car, folks. The bottom line is if you don't want to own a car, you don't have to. That's entirely up to you. But if you do, obviously, in most states, you have to have mandatory insurance, which just protects drivers in case you crash into them or something. Cars are expensive. So anyway, the subject never came up again, which was to Romney's advantage, probably with the other candidates. In addition, Romney gave good solid answers on several other questions, well-tailored to the format, demanding brief answers on various issues. Exactly, folks. A good debater will not go on and on, about an issue. He's going to give you clear, concise answers, as short as possible, as definitive as possible, and move on. Subject of a good debater. The qualities of a good debater. So good, solid answers. Notable among them was his defense of his opposition to GM and Chrysler bailouts, where he stood for the rule of law and against turning over ownership shares to the United Auto Workers. On the debt ceiling, he launched well-justified attacks on Barack Obama for not leading. I thought he, Barone thinks he misfired on one very important issue, saying that eminent domain should be used for private companies. When the question raised the issue whether it should be used for public utilities, which traditionally have had eminent domain-like powers to build electronic transmission lines, but it doesn't matter much in this context. In other words, it was an issue where we think where Barone thinks he misfired, but not it's not going to be a problem for him. Overall, Romney showed a clear sense of command and directed well-aimed attacks at Barack Obama and his administration. He was well prepared for the format and did better than I thought. This is Michael Barone now saying that he thought Romney did well, and I'm telling you, Romney is presidential. Say what you will, I don't like his policy on his. Ideas towards global warming, and I don't obviously like Romney care, living in the state there where that exists. But other than that, he has presidential presence, folks. We call it command presence in our job. He has the presence. He looks like a president. If you see him talk, he looks like someone that could lead a country. And he talks like someone that can lead a country, and he makes clear and concise answers. He's very well educated. You can't take those qualities away from the man. He has them. It's as simple as that. Now, Barone goes on to talk about Michelle Bachmann, which is something that obviously we want to get into. He said, the rap against her is that she is inspirational but sometimes makes statements she cannot defend. He says, I do not think she did that in this debate last night. She didn't, folks. On the contrary, she was well prepared with specifics. She defended the Tea Parties as part of the three-legged stool of national security, cultural conservative, and free market economic conservatives, the definition of the conservative movement pioneered by the late William F. Buckley many years ago. She managed to tell viewers that she was a tax lawyer and that she raised three children and provided homes for 23 foster children. I don't care how cynical you are, it's impressive. It is, folks. She said that as president, she wouldn't go into the states and lobby against allowing same-sex marriages, and she brushed aside as numerically insignificant the question, always raised by liberals, like CNN moderator John King, about abortions in cases of rape and incest. She used her seat on the Intelligence Committee to make her point that there was no vital American interest in Libya and quoted Ryan Lees's New Yorker piece on how an Obama insider said he was leading from behind. That's an impressive performance, folks. So Michael Barone impressed with Michelle Bachmann. From what I saw in the clips, I was impressed with Michelle Bachmann. It's not that I don't think she's a good lady. She is, and she's conservative. But I was concerned about how she would present herself and how well she would do in the debate. From what I saw, folks, she did well. She did well. I'm going to tell you my opinion is Romney was the outstanding candidate. But as far as the debate went, regardless of that fact, I thought Michelle did very well. No doubt about that. Now, Tim Pawlenty, as I wanted to talk about this, because he's was considered one of the people that we could rely on. Barone thinks that he faltered on the Romney care mandate issue. Barone says, I was surprised that he seemed on the defensive and unwilling to go hard against Romney on the single issue on which he is most vulnerable. He was also, I thought, oddly defensive on trade, which is fair trade. He was strong in backing right-to-work laws by saying that no one should be forced to be a member of any organization or any union, and he was excellent on the liberal phrase question on separation of church and state, arguing that the purpose of the First Amendment was to protect people of faith from various from the government and not vice versa, and noting that 49 of the 50 states have constitutions mentioning God or the Creator. I also thought Barone also thought he scored on John King's question on the 2008 vice presidential nominees, a zinger since, of course, Pawlenty was passed over by John McCain in favor of Sarah Palin, by saying that Biden was wrong on every major foreign policy issue, noting specifically his proposal to partition Iraq. Now, Pawlenty could have done even better by recalling that in the 2008 vice presidential debate, Biden assured voters that with great insistence that Article 1 of the Constitution is about the president, when in fact Article 1 is about Congress, in which Biden at that point had served 36 years. But overall, it was a somewhat disappointing performance by Pawlenty, according to Barone. who thought that Pulenti should have done better, and obviously did not. That definitely was a problem there. Now, Rick Santorum, folks, who is a Republican favorite, but a bit of a rhino, folks, unfortunately. He says that Rick Santorum was solid in giving answers that comport with his 16-year record in Congress and his major concerns, whether or not they advance his cause in this contest. He gave solid support to Paul Ryan's premium support plan for Medicare, which John King insisted on labeling a vulture, though it isn't, and was steadfast in asserting that the United States needs to stay in a forward position around the world to combat Islamic terrorists who seek to destroy us. So it's overall a fairly good assessment of Rick Santorum, who is not a bad candidate, folks. He has some very conservative issues, but he also has some, he has some rhino issues. He's supported rhinos in the past, and this is where we're going to have a problem with him. Now, Newt Gingrich, and I wanted to get to this because he's one of the big ones here, too. Newt Gingrich. Baroni says this is not a format he is used to, and the time limits don't play to his strengths. His answers on space policy was intellectually serious and generally interesting, but probably went over the heads of most people. His references to his votes for the Reagan tax cuts 30 years ago may have struck many viewers as weirdly historical, as if to adopt a similar time perspective. Candidates in the 1984 cycle were referenced. These things were coming up, but people are like, yeah, that was like 20-something, 30-something years ago. He was defensive when asked about his comments on Ryan's Medicare plan and did not really repudiate his right-wing social engineering characterization. Instead, in vernacular tones, asked Republicans to go slow on Medicare reform, not a position well calculated to win votes in this race. On immigration, Baroni thought his analysis was excellent and his position eminently defensible. No serious citizen should get trapped into yes or no answers on what to do with 11 million illegal immigrants. So he didn't think that he did that well, folks, and I don't think he did either of them watching the debate. It just didn't look like it was his debate at all, and that's unusual because he is a very smart man. You just got to wonder, what happened to Newt. I mean, he self-destructed. Self-destructed, unbelievable indeed. All right, folks, we're going to be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America show. We'll return, so stay tuned.
Hi, this is the Candid Conservative with today's Candid Minute. David Stockman was a budget director during the Reagan administration. He's recently taken his former boss to task for borrow-and-spend policies that set Republican standards for three decades. Over time, Stockman has realized that tax-and-spend and borrow-and-spend lead to the same place, destruction of the American dream. He's right, and his insight on government by default by both parties offers solid conservative thinking. Republican spending without tax increases is dishonest leadership. Democrat enthusiasm for taxation without realistic constraints on entitlements equally so. Add a Bush policy of military adventurism without sacrifice that's been even worse under Obama, and the pattern of responsibility avoidance is clear. Both political parties long ago abandoned the mission of living within our means. They've just taken different paths to maintaining the charade. Standing still on a railroad track is a similar form of decision by default. I'm Dr. Carl Mumpower. Thanks for spending a minute with a Candid Conservative.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, It's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Talk Show America show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. Let's get back to this to some of this debate, because I wanted to get to Herman Cain, and he's the next one up on the list on Barone's list here, folks. And of course, there's a lot of people that are concerned about Herman Cain, think he's a good candidate. Of course, he's black, folks. He was the CEO of Godfather Pizza at one time, so a lot of people think that he's got the mojo to be the Republican candidate. We'll have to see what happens. But I did want to get to him because he's a favorite of a lot of people. They think that he's got some chance. So what does Michael Barone think? Let's see. He says Herman Cain, charming as usual, and generous to others on the stage, alternatively illuminating in his candor and seemingly on purpose, confused in some of his responses. He doesn't seem to know almost anything about foreign or military policy, which of course are the policy areas where any president has the most room to maneuver. Absolutely, folks, and this is one thing that I have. This is what happened to Sarah Palin in the vice presidential, when she was picked as a vice presidential candidate to run with McCain. She didn't have a lot of knowledge in these areas, and you need to, folks. And, you know, hey, nobody expects everybody to be a foreign policy expert and a military policy expert, but, you know, bone up on these things, folks. No offense, Mr. Wiener. Read up on these things. Get yourself educated. This is what you have to do if you're going to want to be president of the United States. Be able to hold your own. Nobody expects you to be a foreign policy genius or a military genius, especially if you haven't been in the military in any command form, at least. But you should know, have the basic groundwork. He doesn't know a lot about it. I've heard him talk. He dances around the issue, and that can be a problem for a president. Because, folks, you're the leader of the free world. The free world expects you to be able to do what you need to do, protect our country and national interests and our allies as well, at least help out with that. That's one of the problems that Obama has. His foreign policy is horrible. His military policy is horrible. Other than the Bush policy, which he's put forward, which is the only thing that works, folks. And that's why he doesn't have a policy of his own, except for some of his, like going into Libya. Classic example of something that probably shouldn't have been done. Especially where we didn't get anything done there, and we're still there, although it's NATO, it's basically running the ship. We're still there, folks, and we're still paying a lot of money. I'm not going to, condemn President Obama, but I think that either we get a clear mission and get it done, or we get out of there, one or the other. There's no clear direction about where we're going in Libya. That's the problem. It just seems to be we're over there, flying over once in a while, bombing people and everything else, and then that's the end of it. We don't seem to have a mission statement. What are we going to do? And that's something that Obama needs to do, but hasn't done. Now, he talks about Ron Paul a little bit, and he says Ron Paul. Barone says he is Ron Paul, and he did not fail to disappoint his enthusiasts. Others, I suspect they were confused by some of his answers on monetary policy and the like. I found him more charming than in the past. Ron Paul, folks, and I know a lot of people think that this is who they want to have as president. Folks, I got to tell you, I can't see him as the presidential candidate. I can't, and I hope he doesn't win the nomination. Definitely we'll have a big problem. The bottom line, Barone says, is this was a New Hampshire debate, but it has serious ramifications for Iowa as well. I have disparaged the idea that Romney is the front runner. I continue to think that given the polls, no one is the front runner at this point in time, but Romney behaved like a front runner tonight, one with confidence and sense of command with the with the Aderesis to step aside from two major issue challenges, Romney Care, and his various views on abortion. Romney was wisely issued the Iowa caucus this time, leaving as two major competitors there, Pawlenty from next door Minnesota, and a genuine religious conservative, and Bachman, of course, also not only from next door Minnesota, but also born and raised in Iowa. So it'll remain to see, be seen. But this debate apparently goes to Romney and Bachman, Romney largely because he is very presidential. Bachman also, though, did well in the showing, and that's well for the Tea Party as well. So that's good news. So we'll have to see what happens. We're going to talk more about this on another show, folks. We'll talk about this debate, and hopefully I can get back on track and have some time. It's just been very difficult indeed. All right, folks, that's all the time we have today here on the show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We'll catch you later. Have a great day. Stay safe.